Welcome back to Laugh or Go Crazy, Michelle, my soul sister, wingman, co-pilot. What other ways we could describe you?
Oh, I love all of those ways. Did you say?
Let me count the ways.
Count
Michelle.
The ways. Yeah. I'm gonna have to think about this.
Yes. So I know. Listen, I got to give you again props for the production of the show, the research of the show. I mean, you're doing everything. You're just telling me when to show up. I love it.
I know. It's total role reversal. So if anyone, which just to quickly say that we received many emails and correspondence between some, you know, old. Steve, I'm going to have to start over. Hold on.
Oh, why? You sounded good.
No, I'm going to hold on. Only because I got all choked up. Hold on.
Really? You sounded great.
So the people that have been with us from the start know about how Steve did all of the things that I am now doing. And I have to say, Steve, it is quite therapeutic because I pick a topic, I do some research, I connect it to my life. I know you will have such great feedback and thoughts on it. And it's fun. It's really a lot of fun.
I think
this podcast is so relevant to today. Society. I really do. So I think it could help everyone.
Yeah. And we're going to speak really to generally, but also specific to our own life. The topic is that Michelle, you know, had brought to my attention, which I really, it resonates with me, is attracted to distraction. Attracted to distraction. And if you really think about it, because, you know, when you wrote it, you know, when you wrote the topic down on a piece of paper and texted it to me, Michelle gave me like multiple choice. You know, do you want to talk about this, that? And I said, you know what? Attracted to distraction is something that people might not even be cognizant or aware of what they're doing. And, you know, so I want Michelle to lead in the show about, you know, what that means and, you know, some of the things she brought up, but it brings me back to the Wayne Dyer quote. You know, we were big Wayne Dyer people, and before he died, we actually went to see him in New York's Javits Center. Remember, Michelle?
Yes.
And let me tell you, it was so moving that you almost call it like a spiritual concert. I still remember those quotes and those lines and the feelings. And one of the things Wayne said is when you are making change in your life, whether it's spiritual or, you know, more spiritual, but self-improvement, whatever you want to label it, you could either catch yourself in the behavior or the pattern well after it happened, during it, or before it. So for instance, if you're trying to break a habit or make change in your life, or not react to things, or, you know, whatever the thing is that you want to change in your life, you know, some people never recognize it. So let's just start there. So we're already talking about it, so we're recognizing it, right? We could actually catch ourselves well after the fact. You know, I wasn't present at all. I was on the phone the entire time. I have no idea what went on. Or you can catch yourself during it, you know, okay, this is what I'm doing again. This is the behavior that's happening. Okay. And then you make change during it or just observe, or you do it before the event. Okay. I'm going into this situation. I'm not going to be, you know, reacting. I'm not going to be giving my opinion when not asked. I'm not going to be judging. You know, you catch yourself before. So it's like the three phases. And as you go up that like spiritual ladder or the evolution of yourself, you should, you know, you want to try to catch yourself a little earlier in the process, either during it or before it. That would be the ultimate goal. But even if you catch yourself afterwards and you did it and you gave your opinion when not asked and you judged and you, you know, weren't present and you were on the phone the whole freaking time, That's okay as long as you're aware of the behavior. And that's the start of things, being aware, not even changing, because changing is like almost too much work to do right away. Just being aware that you have this pattern or issue is change in itself, Michelle.
Yeah, so it's like knowing and doing are two different things. Knowing, yeah. And I think ultimately what we all want to do is be in a position where we prepare ourselves before we enter any kind of situation and we set ourselves up. So in other words, I'm going to dinner with you. I'm actually going to shut my phone off, or like you do, Steve, I noticed like over the last year or so, you leave it in the car. Like, so there's no, you've eliminated the distraction. So if, you know, eventually we get to points like that where we're so aware of it that we set ourselves up to successfully be present wherever we are and with whoever we're with, right?
Right. So, you know, in that particular example, you know, I had noticed that I was addicted to distraction. And so I'm like, you know, I really want to be with this person tonight, or I really want to enjoy dinner tonight. I really don't want to get distracted tonight. I'll leave it in the car. You know, I'm not going to die for, you know, the hour and a half that I'm at dinner. And, you know, because I do, you know, back in the day, Michelle, I did notice you were so tied in to the phone, the GPS, find me, you know, and every little time your watch went buzz, you know, kind of like vibrated, you stopped the conversation and you looked down and checked it immediately. And, you know, for that moment, you know, whatever you were saying or listening or in the moment, you know, you checked it, and I do the same thing, by the way. I just noticed that you don't do it as much. And it was like a constant, like a puppy on a leash pulling you to like every scent. And, you know, you were just kind of like being distracted by every time your Apple Watch went off with the buzzer.
Yeah. And let me tell you what that was.
And you don't do that anymore as much.
Because let me tell you about it. First of all, I was hooked up to Life 360 with my family. So every time, like, the kids would come home, ding, ding, ding. And I had it hooked up to the phone, which was then hooked up to my watch. And not only was it a distraction, but my thoughts then shifted to, where is he going now? Where is she going now? Where is, right. Where were they coming home from? Who's in the car? Like, it became so like distracting in a negative way that I completely detached it from my phone and my watch. So I don't know who's coming or going. I have to actively look to see, which I don't do really, unless I have to look for, you know, unless I'm like, oh, if I have a, you know, something I have to find out, like, if someone is home, if that makes sense. But that took me a very long time. I think I was hooked up to that for like 2 years. Honestly.
I know. Yeah.
So, but that's where.
And so, you know, you weren't aware of it until you became aware of it and you made change. And, you know, and now, you know, it's just me with, you know, also with Instagram. And remember when I was into the stock market a lot and I was constantly checking, you know, the stock market, and I'm talking to you and I keep looking over, refreshing the screen.
Right.
And you're like, what do
you
doing?
Remember that? I said, this what is a problem.
Doing? What are you doing? Yeah. And I'm like, I know it's a problem. Like, I was aware. No, there's no question. I was aware I was distracted. But I was okay with just being distracted because, you know, whatever, I was addicted. But, you know, you could be aware that you have an addiction or addicted to distraction or addicted to whatever. You could be aware of it. And that's really a huge thing because many people aren't aware.
Right. Or, you know, they don't even realize it. So
yeah, they don't realize it.
Exactly. There's a lot of different kinds of distractions. So let's first talk about like.
Yeah, let's dive in.
So let me tell you about.
Deep dive with Michelle.
Listen, I have to hit my list and you really, you know. So I want to teach you something new today. Would you give me a chance?
I'm ready.
So there's deliberate distraction with which can be healthy. So let me talk to you a little bit about that. Like a deliberate distraction would be. I'm going through a divorce or something that is unpleasant, and I am going to focus on the gym or I'm going to join a club or get into a craft or something that is helping you get through something.
Sure.
That you can't change, right?
I love this deliberate distraction, because, you know, if I can just jump in, I do have a friend who has someone that she knows with depression. And sometimes, you know, with depression, obviously people around you become sad as well, because you can't really help them as much as you'd want to help them. Right. And, you know, I said to my friend, I said, look, you need to let's get a distraction going. Let's like shake it up. Let's, you know, okay. So, you know, you're seeing the therapist, you're on the appropriate medicine, but you're still feeling down from the breakup or from whatever. You need a deliberate distraction. I didn't actually call it that, because, you know, you just labeled it, which is perfect. But you really need to you need someone to you need a distraction, you know, go on vacation or take a run or go somewhere, you know, because it pulls you out of the slump that you're in, like the divorce analogy or, you know, the grieving analogy or whatever it is. So I totally see that. The deliberate distraction is amazing.
Yeah. It's like switching your focus to, okay, today I do this. I go to the gym and I work on this, and maybe you'll meet a new person. And then you find that your day is less and less focused on whatever the negativity is in your life. So, but it has to be something positive, right? So you want to make sure that you, do that. But so as I told you before, I'm reading this book called The 5 AM Club by Robin Sharma. And in this book, there's a whole bunch of really great information. It really is a great book, and the way he tells it is more like a story, but it's really all intertwined with self-help. So it mainly focuses on distraction and the addiction to it. Is that what happens is the people who are most successful are the most focused. It's not really about intelligence. It's about focus. And how focus is more valuable than intelligence in many, many cases. Mm-hmm. So when you're always distracting yourself and you're not letting yourself get to that point of true success, and it could be a deliberate distraction where you're scared more than you're so in other words, you distract yourself by, you know, interrupting what you're doing. You don't start with you don't finish what you start. And it's when you feel most like giving up that you have to press on to pass to that like level of success that we were all meant to have. You know, every one of us is meant to have success in their life and be where they truly are intended to be at. I don't know that everybody gets there. And by small daily improvements that are done consistently over time, that's what leads you to complete success, right? And success is different for everyone, right? So it's when you feel you're at your best. It really talks about how you really affect your own ability by being distracted. It actually hinders your ability more than you even think it does. You know, you don't really get to that level. And some people it's due to fear. So it's like a subconscious fear of success or a subconscious fear of something if you keep at it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. It does. And so when you were talking about the different types of distraction, you had the deliberate distraction, right? When you're replacing one thing with another.
Right.
Right. You're replacing the bad situation or the whatever unpleasant situation. You're distracting yourself with something positive, like overworking at the gym or whatever, going out with friends or whatever. And then you have like that other type of distraction, which, you know, I feel everyone is, and I'm guilty of it too. But I was, you know, every time I go out, I look around and everyone's on their phone. Even at dinner, people are at their phone. I get it. And I get it because I'm a big Instagrammer right? So I do, but I'm aware of it, Michelle. It's not like I'm aware that, okay, for these few seconds, I'm going to be taking pictures and maybe a picture of my food and maybe some, you know, a little video of who I'm with, and then I'm going to put it away.
Right.
But there are people that keep that freaking phone out the whole meal.
Yeah, that's more like capturing a moment, though. You're not doing something else. You're videoing the people you're with. That, you know, I see that as different than, you know, completely shifting your attention from where you are to something completely different.
Yes, know? Yes,
right?
Yes.
There's also procrastination, right?
So yeah, that's true.
People are distracted because they're really procrastinating, you know? But the thing is, so the other night I went to dinner with family, and the table next to us, there were two women and their two, you know, young daughters. I'd say one was mid-teens and then a little bit younger, like elementary school. The moms were on their phone the whole time, time. They didn't even talk to each other. I said, wow, like that's why, you know, everyone is addicted to their phone, you know? I mean, because that's what the kids are seeing. That's what everyone is seeing.
Right.
But I do hope that there's a shift. I hope that enough people are aware of what's happening and how it's not really great for society and for even growing up. I mean, it's, you miss out on a lot, you know?
Because you know what I love? Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
No, it's just you're not present. So when you're not present in the moment, you're missing out on a lot, you know?
It's true. And, you know, I hate to say it, but one of my best qualities, I think, is I can read a room. Yeah. I could read people. I could, you know, I have that ability to connect. And sometimes, you know, I could come into a situation, whether it be a group or a small group or one-on-one, and I can read the person. Okay, this person has good energy. Okay, I can joke with them. Or this person is like a narcissist. Okay, I'm going to have to compliment them. Or this person is, you know, angry or that, you know, and I have the ability to read the room. And it's just because of years of observation and being present and, you know, like before the phones, you know, and I think coming out of the childhood I had where, you know, I always had to take the mood of the room, you know, is the stepfather mad? Is my mother angry? Are they fighting? Are they not? Is my dad drinking? You know, and I always had to be like this barometer or, you know, take the pressure of the room. And I had to adjust myself to the environment. And I don't think kids or I'd say kids, but young adults today do that. I don't think they do that as much.
Something. Do you think they have to when they put their AirPods in and they're listening or watching something? They don't even hear what's going on in the house. Like we didn't have that. I did the same thing you did. Like if my grandparents were over, my grandfather was over, I was like, "What? Okay, so what's going on in the kitchen? I hear an angry voice. Is my brother leaving?" Like you know, you heard those things. Even my son has said to me, you know, this is going back a while, but, you know, and this is just honest. He's like, I'm just going to go in my room and put my headphones on and play my game.
Yeah, I don't want to block it out.
I don't want to listen to this. So they have kids today, even adults, because I'm guilty of the same thing. Listen, I got to be honest. If someone's in a bad mood in my house, I do sometimes put the AirPods on and I clean with my music on and I don't always let other people's energy into mine, you know? I mean,
no, I get it. No, that's a coping skill. That is like, but the thing is with always blocking out and always distracting yourself with content or music or you miss a little bit of the, you know, you certainly miss the bad, which is a good thing, obviously. Right. But you also miss the ability to adapt and change. Like, for instance, when I go on and I've always dealt with clients and, you know, and I just feel as though I always have an advantage because I feel like I could just not come on as strong when I don't think the person is like if the person is really a strong person, I don't need to be the strongest one in the room. I know it. You know, I've worked for many people that were narcissists.
No,
I know exactly how to handle those people. They are literally, they love me because I don't need, I'm not going to be the star. Even though when I am the star, I make sure I'm not.
Right.
Because I have the ability to change, not who I am, because I will never change who I am. But I filter the things that I know the person's not going to enjoy because it affects them internally.
Yeah, but that's not being who you are. I think that's part of who you are in a good way. When you can adjust yourself and, you know, kind of.
But you can't adjust yourself, Michelle, unless you're present and not distracted.
Oh,
so I learned a skill that was honed over many years, in part from the childhood, you know, I had, or we both had, in part from the, you know, the overcoming obstacles in our life. And, you know, I use that, you know, as a badge of not honor, but I use it to my advantage today because I'm at the point now where, okay, why did this all happen? You know, I had like three fathers, deaths at early age, you know, people that I love, just like instability and not insecurity, unsafety,
yeah.
You know, I had all of those things. And now I know how to make myself stable and myself safe and myself secure. Because I know the things that I didn't have. And it's just because I was, you know, I didn't have the technology. You know, maybe I would have blocked myself out. You know what I mean? And the AirPods and the headphones. But I didn't have that technology. I had to be engaged in the bad. Do you know what I mean?
No.
And so being engaged in the bad allowed me to navigate, you know, my future in a way. So like, you know, so I guess this is just a talking point, you know, how, you know, the generations are different today because we make reference to people at dinner that are totally disengaged, you know, at the table.
Right. You know,
they have no,
here's the thing. We can't control our past. There was nothing you could do about who, you know, who you were born, you know, whose parents you had. Nobody can change that. Nobody can change. Some people have a beautiful childhood. Others really struggle. Others, it's a complete disaster, right? Our childhood really is out of our control. It's when we hit a certain age where we can get ourselves to a place where we have control, but not everybody gets there, Steve. You know, sometimes people, you know, you were able to do that. Thankfully, you developed all your own tools, you know, and you were able to become successful and carry on and keep going for all the schooling you had, all the jobs you had, like you, whatever coping skills you created for yourself, because quite honestly, back then there weren't therapists and there weren't people to really go to. So for whatever reason, you were able to overcome your difficulties, you know, and the message is really to people who are struggling with a similar situation to you, I think, and not that you're past it, but you've really learned a lot from it. And I believe that you feel success at this point, but it's not to let the pain of an imperfect past hinder your ability to have an incredible future. So, you know, what we can't control about what has already happened, we kind of have to deal with and then let go to some degree in order to move forward, mm-hmm. Right? So,
100%.
And people are at different stages of that. Like,
yeah.
You can speak from it and speak about the success. And that's what I think people
yes.
need to hear. Like, oh, well, here he is. And now I'm hearing he had three fathers. There was alcoholism. There was, you know, not great stability. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on, even with your brother, like, you know, like all that.
There's
stuff.
A lot. Yep.
A lot.
Yep.
I mean, more.
And, you know, you can just replace it with from childhood to like my marriage, you know what I mean? It doesn't,
whatever that looks like for you. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
So,
you know,
at the end of, you know, in this journey that we all signed up for in some way, we are not going to escape without, you know, anxiety sadness situations. And, you know, like Michelle, you were saying, it's our, you know, job here is to take those things and use them to propel yourself in the future. So like when a relationship ends, whether it be a marriage or infidelity or whatever, you know, you can stay stuck, you know, forever, or you can move on and just take out what was great about that relationship, whether it be just your kids or, hey, you know, he showed me how to cook, you know, but the bastard was terrible, you know, to me, but you know what? I'm a better cook.
Something very funny, and I'll never forget this. So years ago, I dated this guy, and you know, at the time I really liked him. And anyway, somehow he used to, are you ready for this? When he got out of the shower, he'd dry himself off and he would tell me, I'm cold. So I blow dry myself. Like he takes the blow dryer and he would blow dry his feet, his legs, he'd blow dry his body. And I said, well, what was the one thing I got out of that relationship? Like that is something.
Exactly.
I just blow dry myself after I get out of the shower because it.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the thing, Steve. Nothing was an accident. Zero was a waste. Everyone is exactly where they should be. And everything that has happened to you was supposed to. It was supposed to because it's going to lead you where you're supposed to be. If you open up, if you're open enough, I should say, to get there, you know, so.
And also you have to have the ability to look back and follow the chain of events that have led you to where you are, because there are people that have, like my sister, and you know, she was in a beautiful, I don't know how beautiful, but a long-term marriage, three kids, married for 20 years, and you know, it ended in divorce because they weren't growing together, they were growing apart, which was very typical, you know, for many people. She thought she would, you know, it literally was probably the worst time in her life, but she found the best person for her now. She's been married for 2-3 years. She's, you know, building a house in Florida. And, you know, she is her best version of herself.
And, you know, Steve, I remember going with you to her condo out east, and she had just moved in, and she was kind of a mess. I mean, it was a beautiful place, and she was so unhappy. And that's the thing. Everything is temporary, you know? I mean, nothing lasts forever. The good doesn't last forever. The bad doesn't last forever.
Everything is temporary.
Everything is temporary. And, you know, listen to this quote. This is from the book, like little tidbits, but the
woman
sweats more in training, bleeds less at war. So in other words, all the work that you do, all the work that you put in to yourself, you know, gives you the strength and the coping skills and the ability to get through almost anything, right? So all of those hardships just build character, strength, and things that we need, I think, to live happily.
No, I agree. So, I agree. It's you know, addicted to distraction, you know, it's a broad topic, but you know, the lessons are embedded within. It's you have to be, you are your own happiness, you are your own safety, you are your own, you know, it's us. Do you know what I mean, Michelle? We have to become the best versions of ourselves and enter situations or relationships. And, you know, we're supposed to like bring that person up as well together, you know, so that doesn't always happen. But I like this one. This was a good one, Michelle.
Thanks. Well, do you remember what I told you the other day? Like you are with yourself 24 hours a day.
Yes.
65 days a year. If you don't like your voice in your head, if you don't like your own company, if you can't be quiet alone, you really have to make some changes and learn to become really happy with yourself. Because at the end of the day, you know, we are born alone, we die alone. I mean, we're filled, of course, with wonderful friends and family, but
yes, really, but we are on our own personal journey.
And knowing that and doing that are two different things. So I knew years ago when we
did this podcast,
podcast. I know the right thing to do. And I really never did it. I really knew everything. I knew it. I knew I should be present. I knew I should be less distracted. I knew all of these things, but I didn't do it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't take my own advice. I could give great advice. I would never take my own advice because, you know, you just, that's not what I was doing. But now, all these years later, I find I'm doing more of what I know is good, you know, for me.
Yeah, I get it.
Yep.
So, yeah, so that's basically, in a nutshell, of the talking points for distraction and being able to focus your attention on what's important and also to not give up. So when you feel most like you want to give up, that's when you don't give up and you press on. You know, that's when you keep going. And if you look at, if we look at all of the famous people in the world, famous artists, most of these people were very alone, right? They spent a lot of time alone, and they were not distracted at all. They could do the same thing for hours and hours and hours and hours, right? So,
yes.
So it's interesting to do some research on it if you're, you know, if you're interested in that. But that's really it, Steve, in a nutshell.
Yeah, no, this is a good one. This was a good one. Addicted to distraction. And I think it just could be, you know, addicted to really anything, because any addiction is a distraction.
True. That is true. And any addiction, some addictions are healthy, but anything in excess is unhealthy. Even the gym, even eating healthy. Like, you could take anything to the extreme where it becomes unhealthy. Everything is really about balance, right? Balance.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Well, laugh or go crazy, back at it, baby. Now, can you speak to that old vintage recording we put up? Because Michelle and I go back and forth about, you know, putting up the old recordings, the old shows. And, you know, some of them are, well, first of all, we had a lot of shows, but the content is so good that every once in a while we'll throw an old show up. And that last show, moving on, Michelle, I literally was driving to the doctor's appointment last weekend listening to it, because I forget what we say. And I was laughing out loud. That's how funny that was, moving on.
Yes, I know. I know. I go back and forth with just posting without like a little blurb before it, because if you're a new listener, it's kind of random, because it's like in the middle of our journey. Like, you didn't start with us from the beginning, but I think we decided to like listen to the old recordings and then post them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the messages are so great, but it was just like, just very funny stuff. So, you know, every once in a while you'll see a recording up there. We'll put in the description, you know, a vintage show, and you'll know this is just one of those special shows we pulled out over the years that we wanted you to listen to. Because, you know, as you listen, you will, we do reveal ourselves slowly, you know, and it's kind of nice to go, you know, listen to a current one and then going back to an old one. So you never know, we might put up an old one as well.
Yeah, I mean, we could do a new one and an old one each week.
Same day, yes. Why not?
Yeah, so let's see how that goes. And I think that's it for now, Steve.
Excelente.
All right.
All right, addicted distraction. You could either catch yourself before, during, or after. And, you know, as we evolve in our spiritual journey, you know, we want to catch ourselves, obviously, closer to before the behavior, so that we could, you know, make positive change in our life. So we're working on it, people, right? We're working
on it. Yes, we are. And we always love to hear from you. So you can email us at laughogocrazy@yahoo.com. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and we're up and running on all of the
mention all the platforms. It's not just Podbeam.
Oh, no, it's iTunes, Spotify. Oh, there are Apple, Amazon.
Something hard.
Yeah.
What is that?
We're all over. I'm sorry. What did you say?
iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio. Steve, you can't eat during the podcast.
I know. I'm cooking and I had to have a little taste. Okay.
Oh my goodness. It's time.
Oh my God.
It's time to go.